Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to invite you to stay tuned. I feel this could be a very important 30 minutes for you. Could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. The Flatline. Motivation, inspiration, education, but done with no manipulation. No hidden agendas here. No human speculation. Just some divine revelation from the Word of God with no strings attached. Not trying to sell you a book. Not trying to get you to send in a donation. Not trying to get you to join anything. Not trying to get you to even make a telephone call. Just sit back and listen. Think about the information. See, my job is to verify and identify God's plan for your life. Your job, if you agree, is to orient and adjust to the plan. And I thank you for giving me a moment of your day. I hope you will listen, and I hope you'll invite your friends to listen. And I pray that this show would be encouraging to you. If you're not aware of The Flatline, we are a show that comes on every Sunday on this radio station. And we follow, it's not topical. It's not a different subject every Sunday. We're not a financial restoration show teaching you how to have finances, how to control your finances. That's not me. We are teaching you short biblical principles that will allow you to have a phenomenal life based on the tremendous problem-solving devices found in the Bible. You use these problem-solving devices much like the military would use a flatline to keep the enemy from overrunning the command post. The flatline is a forward line of troops. And you're going to put the Word of God in your soul and use it to block the outside pressure of adversity so that it doesn't become the inside pressure of stress. So if you learn these tremendous principles taught in the Bible, if you come to develop momentum in your life spiritually so that you advance daily by listening to the teaching of the Word of God, then you can in fact begin to grow spiritually and come to the place that God wants you to be, to where you can effectively represent Jesus Christ through your very own spiritual life and give God maximum glorification. Now, you and your church represent Christ to the community. That's certainly not a problem. But representing Christ as an individual in your own spiritual life, when you're autonomous, when you're alone, when you're out there in your daily walk, well, that may be a different story. And so that's why it's so important that you learn biblical concepts that will give you strength in your spiritual life. They're all related to the Word of God, and our Lord made it very clear. In Luke 11:27-28, He said, "Happiness belongs to the people who hear My Father's word and keep it." And so when we're talking about momentum, all momentum is based on two things: hearing the Word of God and keeping the Word of God. That's momentum in your spiritual life. And I have told you before, as goes your spiritual life, so goes your physical life. If you worry, if you're full of fear, it'll show up in your physical life in forms of psychosomatic illnesses. But if you have faith, if you live the victorious life that God intended for you to live by, number one, being filled with His Holy Spirit, number two, using the faith rest drill, that's problem-solving device number two and three, and advancing spiritually, then you can have a phenomenal life. You see, life is about your choices and your decisions. And you can submit whatever unfair testing you've been through to the Supreme Court of Heaven. And He will handle it. Or you can try to handle it yourself. You can try to vindicate yourself. You can try to overcome your difficulties with working harder, trying to do better. But it's much easier to put your future and to put your current status in the hands of the grace of God and watch what he can do for you. Remember what Moses told the Israelites as they fled out of Egypt and the Pharaoh was hot on their trail? He said, stand still and watch God deliver you. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do certain things. But it does mean this, that unless God delivers you, you're done for. And that's what the Jews faced at the Red Sea. Unless God delivered them, they were done for. And it looked impossible. There was the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh's army behind them, and they were in Panic Palace. It looked impossible. But God did the impossible. There is nothing impossible in your life that God can't handle. Do you have the faith to trust Him, to believe in Him, and to wait patiently on His timing? Or do you run ahead of God? And you get out of step with God's timing. That's how you make some critical mistakes. Now, in our study, as we follow this series called Leadership in Crisis, and we're trying to make the analogy in this study comparing the life of Moses with our lives and seeing the difficulties and the adversities that Moses faced and how they apply to us. And we have seen, in the last 2 weeks, we studied anti-Semitism. And we saw where that began and how there is an anti-Semitic attitude fostered here in Exodus 17 that even still today carries out throughout the world, where the tiny, insignificant little country called Israel is a threat to so many millions of people. And they're worried about Israel and they want to kill them and wipe them off the earth. And what is the reason for that? And it's purely satanic. It's an attempt to prove that God cannot fulfill His covenants that He made with Israel. And it's an attempt by Satan to vindicate his own self, justify his own failure, and get out of going to the lake of fire. He does not want to go to the lake of fire any more than anyone else does. And yet, this is how he tries to do it, in one of the ways. Now, we're going to take a look at something else. It would appear that Moses is a failure. After leading the Jews out and all that he did, and it appears that when his wife and two sons were brought back to him by his father-in-law Jethro in Exodus 18, that he wound up getting a divorce. Now, I know a lot of people that have been divorced, and I have seen fair and unfair situations, just as you have. Remember, human speculation is not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about divine revelation. But you and I could give horror stories about people who found out certain things about their spouses. Recently in the news, there's been a star football player, ex-professional football player, who was found murdered in a condo as he carried on an affair with a 20-year-old girl, even though he had been married for many, many years. And that's not the first, and it won't be the last. It's just that he's a ex-NFL football player, so that makes the news. But here's the deal. People get divorced every day. Does God approve of it? Well, we're going to take a look at that and see. Did it hinder the leadership of Moses that he divorced and later remarried? We'll take a look at that and see. But I can tell you this. I'll tell you one thing right up front. The Bible says clearly, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. So, if you got married at a young age, and then you got divorced, and later you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, you became a Christian after all of this took place. No one has the right to hold that over you because that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. See, that was before you accepted Christ. And once you accepted Christ, you became a new creation, a new racial species. You are now a member of the body of Christ. You are now a member of the church. You are now a member of the royal family. And what you did before you got saved has nothing to do with it. And anyone that would attempt to belittle you or hold you back or tell you that God can't use you because you got divorced before you got saved, they're totally out of line and they're totally wrong. Now, we need to take a look at this. We need to understand this. Because in spite of people who fail, God can still use them. You know, another man who failed was David. God's great son, David. David, the one that the lineage of Jesus Christ came through. You remember David and Goliath? Well, do you also remember David and Uriah the Hittite? How David fornicated with Uriah's wife and she got pregnant? And how David formulated Uriah's death so that he made sure that Uriah died in combat, a decorated combat veteran, to cover up the fact that his wife was pregnant by the king? You remember that? That was a colossal failure in the life of David. Just as maybe murder was a colossal failure in the life of Moses. But I'm not sure that the divorce was a colossal failure. Divorce may be a failure, and it may not be a failure. It depends. So let's take a look at it. Here's some facts. Number one, God ordains marriage when he created Eve and brought her to Adam. I mean, Adam was in the garden taking care of his job. His job was to name the animals, take care of the garden. You know, it must have been an interesting job. Adam looking at this thing and saying, you know, I think I'm going to call that a hippopotamus. How did he come up with that name? I think I'm going to call that a giraffe. But that was Adam's job. And then Adam began to see that all these animals had mates. They all had the ability to reproduce. They all had seed within them. And Adam needed a woman. He needed the ability to reproduce. And God caused a deep sleep to come upon him and took from his rib Isha, the Hebrew word Isha. Ish was Adam and Isha was the woman. And here she is, beautiful creature that he loved, but who sinned and was deceived by Satan. And this is Satan's earliest attempt to frustrate the plan of God. There's a whole reason why the Garden of Eden was there. There's a whole reason why Adam and Eve were there. I don't have time to get into all of it right now, but I can assure you, God was well aware of what Satan was up to. So God does ordain marriage because he created the first marriage. God did the first marriage ceremony, and I've had the privilege to do many marriage ceremonies. It's a wonderful thing to do, although I'll tell you right now, people don't listen too much at weddings. They're too starry-eyed, and they're just ready to get it over with, and most everybody's tired from all of the activities associated with it. Me, I prefer a simple wedding. But funerals are a different story. You know, it's interesting that at funerals, people listen because you can say, you might be next. And at weddings, most of the people there have already done it, and some of them are wishing they hadn't done it. So God ordained marriage. He set it up. He brought Eve to Adam. Thus, marriage is for all members of the human race, everybody. Marriage is a divine institution for the orderly function of the human race, both in believers and in unbelievers. It is perfectly legitimate for a non-Christian to marry, just as it is legitimate for a Christian to marry. It's for all members of the human race. It is part of the divine institutions. Just as the family is as well. And the marriage is the cement that holds the family together. So when a marriage fails, the family fails. And then what happens is that it affects the nation. Unfortunately, in America today, we have so many divorces. We have so many children growing up fatherless. And I know about this because I grew up without a father. To this day, I really don't know who my father was. Never spent any time with my father. And so I understand what it means to be fatherless, and I understand what a divorce can do to a young person. And the closest thing that I ever had to a father was, in fact, a football coach. Someone that I loved and respected and admired, who was able to get me to perform above my expectations. And eventually, his confidence in me and encouragement paid off in my life. But after high school, I lost touch with him and didn't stay in touch with him after that. But I am a father to four children, and thus I have make it a point to tell my children that I love them daily, because I grew up never hearing a father say, "I love you." So when a marriage fails, then a family fails and a nation fails. You know, it's an interesting thing. In American law, divorce is a legal declaration. That's what it is. It's a legal declaration that dissolves a marriage and breaks the marriage contract. That's what it does in American law. But it's not always the same with God. What American law declares and what God declares may be two different things. The Bible, in fact, limits the number of reasons to dissolve a marriage and even gives fewer reasons for the right to remarry. So let's talk about this for a minute. Moses remarried, and you can read about his remarriage in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Remember, Zipporah was his first wife, and this is his second wife. Do you think we could let Moses be a deacon in your church since he's been married and divorced? Do you think we could let Moses be the pastor of your church since he's been married and divorced? You see how silly legalism gets into claiming that any person that's ever been divorced is not fit to serve God, and that is ridiculous. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does allow for remarriage, but it limits the number of reasons that a marriage can be dissolved. So I want to get this straight one more time. As far as the believer goes, anything that happens before you get saved, like a marriage and divorce, is never an issue after you're saved. And I told you that because the Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. So once we believe in Jesus Christ, that's when we begin to live by God's ordained rules of life. But here's a question. Can a Christian marriage be legally dissolved before God? The answer is yes. And I'll give you the reasons why. Number one, death of a spouse. If a spouse dies, then the other person is free to remarry. No problem. Number two, adultery. If one of the partners commits adultery, this is, in fact, a legitimate reason to divorce and remarry. However, it's also a great opportunity to forgive and forget. Now, can God forgive adultery? Yes. Does God forget it when he forgives? Yes. However, we're human, and it's a little bit harder for us. But I have known many people whose spouses have been unfaithful, and they were more than willing to forgive them and to forget it. Now, sometimes the spouse doesn't want the forgiveness. Sometimes the spouse has been unfaithful because the marriage had disintegrated from the inside to start with. And even though the other partner who's been treated unfairly is willing to forgive, the offending partner doesn't want anything to do with it because of their arrogance. Because in their arrogance, they justify why it was okay to go out on their spouse. Why it was okay to commit adultery, and they will actually turn it around and blame it on the very spouse that they were unfaithful to. So yes, a Christian marriage can be dissolved by death or by adultery and even by desertion. Desertion. If a spouse just ups and walks off and abandons you, then you do have the right to get a divorce and remarry. But just remember this. It's very important you remember this. That in a legitimate divorce, the innocent party has the right to remarry, not the guilty party. The innocent party. So let's put it this way. If you're the spouse of a person and that person commits adultery and you're not able to forgive them or they don't want to be forgiven and you get a divorce, you are the innocent party and you can remarry after a while. But they cannot. If they remarry, they are committing adultery. That's what the Bible says. The guilty party, if they remarry, they are living in adultery. Now, can God forgive adultery? Yes. And you know, there are even some things the Bible is silent on. It's things that are obvious, that are not as obvious as a life-threatening situation. But let's talk about this. What if you are in an abusive marriage? What if your spouse hits you, hurts you? What if your spouse emotionally or physically abuses you? What should you do? Well, you should get out. You should separate. You do not have to live in that situation. God is not asking you to live in an abusive marriage. He's not giving you the right to remarry. He's giving you the right to get out of it. To get out of it before you are killed. Do not stay in an abusive situation. If you're being abused today, you must seek professional help. You must talk to a pastor, a counselor, someone that can give you advice on what to do. Because you do not have to stay in an abusive marriage. Even though the Bible is silent on these things, you must get out before you're killed. Now remember this. Any sin, any failure regarding marriage or divorce on your part was blotted out when you got saved. Remember that. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far He, God, has removed our transgressions from us. So remember that. Anything that happens before you got saved, that's done away with. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've sinned by a wrongful divorce since you've been saved, all right, now let's look at it this way. You got saved when you were 12. When you were 18, I'm using just a scenario, you married. And when you were 24, you divorced with a kid or two. What's the deal about that? And then you remarried. And you divorced. What was the reason for your divorce? Incompatibility. You may say, we were just incompatible. That's not a biblical reason to remarry. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you've made a sin, you've committed a sin because you divorced for the wrong reason or you remarried, then all you must simply do immediately is confess your sin to God. Go to God and confess your sin. Rebound, problem-solving device number one. You confess your sin to God. Don't try to make adjustments for your past failure by your divorce. Don't try to divorce this person and now go back to your spouse that you were legitimately married to begin with. Don't do that. Admit your sin to God, and He will be faithful and just to forgive you. Rebound covers the marriage, and it will take a wrong marriage. If you remarried unlawfully, when you rebound and admit that to God, then it will purify that marriage, and you will no longer be living in that adulterous state. So if you know you divorced for the wrong reason, and if you know you're living in adultery because you remarried illegitimately, go to God and admit it. And don't try to go back and divorce the one you married to now and go back and remarry your first person. That's not what the Bible's telling you to do. I hope I haven't confused you. I haven't had time to go into all of this. But I'm going to tell you this. If you have a serious question regarding divorce or a very serious question regarding remarriage, I'm going to suggest you contact your pastor immediately. But if you have no one else to talk with, you can write to me. I'll do my best to answer your question. You can write to me at Post Office Box 100, in Cropwell, Alabama. Post Office Box 100 in Cropwell, Alabama. But I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm just an evangelist. But I'm just giving you these biblical principles. Now, there are a lot of principles of grace that apply to divorce. You see, here's the wonderful thing about grace. It's the policy of God in which God is free to do anything for mankind, many wonderful things. And when he does them, he does not comprise he doesn't compromise his essence. All of us are the beneficiaries of grace through salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, because it's free. It's the way God loves you. It's unmerited love. It's favor from God. So you don't earn it. You don't deserve to be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift from God. Because that grace is a manifestation of the very power and the mercy and the efficacy of God's wonderful love for you. It's his compassion for you. It's a pardon that God gives you through Jesus Christ. And thus, grace implies that all things, including salvation, all things are a blessing bestowed on us by God. Now, our job is always to grow in grace. That's one of the problem-solving devices. Problem-solving device number 4, grace orientation. God wants us to learn about saving grace, living grace, dying grace, surpassing grace. Because all of our problems after we get saved are always dealt with in grace. Always. That's why Romans 8:31 says this, with reference to these things, to what conclusion are we forced? If God is for us, and he is, who shall be against us? The God who did not even spare his own son, but delivered him over to judgment as a substitute for all of us, how shall he not with him graciously give us all things? So you see, all of our problems after salvation are always dealt with in grace, and that includes the problem of divorce and remarriage. Now, you have self-righteous people that have never committed adultery. They've never been divorced, and they are at war with God a lot of times because of their own arrogance, because they think God is impressed with this. God is impressed because I didn't commit adultery. You can read in Luke 15 about the self-righteous Pharisee who thought God was impressed with his life. James 4:14 says, our life is nothing but a vapor trail, just passing through. The great thing in life is that while you are a vapor trail, if you function under the grace of God, your life will count for him. But legalism is monstrous. It's an arrogant thing. It's that self-righteous arrogance that looks down the nose at the person that committed adultery. Some self-righteous religious person criticizing and maligning and judging them as if somehow they are perfect and this person is imperfect. And they attempt to take the place of God by judging you and your divorce or your failure when you committed adultery. So if you're bitter or angry or hateful towards other people because they've judged you, then you yourself are being arrogant as well. Listen, if you're living in adultery, if you've divorced and remarried for the wrong reason, confess it to God and keep moving and don't look back. Grow in grace with your new spouse. Glorify God with your new spouse. Execute the protocol plan of God, and you can have a wonderful life together in Christ. This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.